It's the Marketplace Tech Podcast for Friday the 25th. I'm Ben Johnson in New York. We've been reporting this week how new proposed open internet rules from the Federal Communications Commission could impact the idea of net neutrality. The new rules proposed by FCC Chairman Tom Wheeler could allow for companies to pay internet service providers so that their content was delivered at higher quality, a so-called fast lane. Net neutrality is, of course, the idea that all information online should be delivered with equal speed and quality by ISPs. The guy who coined the phrase net neutrality is Tim Wu, Columbia Law School professor and author of The Master Switch. Professor Wu, thanks for joining us.
Pleased to be here.
This is a weird day for you, huh?
Not a good day.
You're credited with coining this term, net neutrality, and it seems to hang in the balance this week.
You know, for about a decade, the broadband carriers have been wanting to charge for a fast lane. And everyone's been saying, you know, that just goes against the way the internet has been, which is basically a network of equals. And it looks like after a decade of working it over, the broadband companies are finally getting what they want.
I want to read something from this Chairman Wheeler blog that was posted this morning. ISPs may not act in a commercially unreasonable manner to harm the internet, including favoring the traffic from an affiliated entity. What the heck is that?
I think Chairman Wheeler's idea is he's going to supervise all the bargains that are made, and if he thinks the bargains are charging too much, he'll say that's too much money.
Does the FCC have the capacity to do that?
It's very hard to measure the long-term effects of an internet where people are paying money not to be degraded. And I think Wheeler's idea that he can micromanage how this works, I think, is delusional.
Tim Wu is a professor at Columbia Law School. He's also the author of The Master Switch. Professor Wu, thank you very much.
It's been a pleasure.
It's Friday, baby, and it's been a big week for tech news, from earnings to net neutrality burnings. So let's play Silicon Tally. This week's guest is Farhad Manju, tech columnist for The New York Times. Farhad, are you ready to play the game where we try and stump each other with numbers from the week's tech news?
Yes, I am.
Okay. All right. I got a number for you. 45 pounds.
Is that somebody's net worth in gold?
It's not a tech mogul's worth in gold. It is actually, for $6, Amazon Prime members can have up to 45 pounds of non-perishable snacks, stuff like that, sent to their house. The newly announced service is called Prime Pantry.
Just the physical trek of getting all that stuff to your house is worth $6. So, cool.
All right, you got something for me? Hit me.
12 pages.
The transcript of Aereo's arguments that the company is doing its duty as a startup?
You're pretty close. It is a legal thing.
Okay.
It's the number of pages that jurors in the Apple-Samsung case, where they have to sort of fill out the technical details of the 15 products and 7 patents that the companies are accusing each other of infringing.
All right, I got something for you. 12 pieces of artwork.
I read a story, like a scandalous story, about the artist who painted art at Facebook.
This is not that. It's these 12 pieces of art by Andy Warhol that were recovered from an obscure data format used on the Amiga 1000 computer.
Warhol created art for the Amiga, and now they've sort of...
And now they've recovered them. All right, what do you got for me?
Okay, 89%.
89% of tweets about net neutrality were negative towards the FCC.
Yeah, that's probably true, but that's not what I'm going for.
Okay.
Female computer scientists make 89% of what men make.
Oh, wow.
That is much higher than other professions like finance. The reason is because tech jobs basically offer kind of more workplace flexibility, so they can more easily manage their work-life balance.
Farhad Manju, tech columnist for The New York Times. Farhad, thank you very much, man.
Hey, thanks.
One of my first and favorite childhood memories was the It's a Small World attraction from Disney. 50 years ago this week, Walt Disney's animatronics dolls debuted at the 1964 World's Fair. Disney had played with robotics before, but the animatronics at the World's Fair, which included It's a Small World, had a pretty advanced Abraham Lincoln doll as well. Keith Gluck is a writer at the Walt Disney Family Museum in San Francisco. He says Walt Disney came up with the idea of animatronics while on a family trip in France.
One day they were in Paris shopping, and he came back to the hotel room with two paper bags full of mechanical wind-up toys. And he was just, like, mesmerized. And he said something to the effect of, it's amazing that you can get such complicated movement from such a simple figure.
Hundreds of hours of tinkering later, Disney unveiled his animatronic president with hydraulic and pneumatic machinery. The final product blew minds.
People were in awe. Some people told stories about, you know, Abraham Lincoln was getting up off the stage and shaking people's hands, and, you know, there was a little bit of exaggeration.
The doll really only moved its mouth and its body, but apparently animatronic Lincoln's inner workings also freaked people out when they got up close.
The hydraulic fluid that they originally used for Abraham Lincoln's robot was a color red, and at one point Walt brought in these people to take a look to sort of demonstrate how the figure was working, and a line burst, and you can start to see sort of red come out from behind his white shirt. And some woman turned to Walt and says something like, congratulations, you just reenacted the assassination of Abraham Lincoln.
From animatronics to today's robotics, we've come a long way. Happy birthday, World's Fair. I'm Ben Johnson, and that's Marketplace Tech. This is APM, American Public Media.
The world can be a confusing place for kids, and finding the words to explain it all can be tricky, too. Introducing Million Bazillion, a Webby-winning podcast from Marketplace that takes your kids on exciting adventures to answer the awkward and complex questions they have about money. Each week, we tackle hard-hitting inquiries from kid listeners like,
what is a college account and how does it work?
I want to know what unions are and what they are for.
Why does the U.S. have so much gold in Fort Knox and what do they use it for?
Help your kids understand how money fits into the world around us. Listen to Million Bazillion wherever you get your podcasts.